L-E-T-E-N-P-C.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Nope. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
Welcoming Peter Berkowitz of the Hoover Institution, just returned from 10 days in Israel with the Public Interest Fellowship fellows and staff, traveling the length and breadth of Israel during this crisis period of war fighting, and at the same time, a culture that is finding its voice, one voice, to continue the war until it's successful. However, Peter, welcome home. I need a definition first. There are 20 fellows all told. It's a two-year fellowship, and that means 10 from the new year and 10 from last year. What is the mission of the Public Interest Fellowship you are with? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John, and it's good to be back in the United States. The Public Interest Fellowship is devoted to providing young people, recent college graduates, with experience in politics here in Washington, D.C. We bring them to work in a variety of positions. Some work in journalism, some work at think tanks, some work for political consultancies, some actually even work in Congress. I provide kind of continuing education in the modern tradition of freedom. We study great books and we study public policy, and we all share a commitment to individual liberty and limited government and free markets and a vigorous civil society and a strong America abroad, which are, I would say, basic American principles, and allow for some range of disagreement among us, notwithstanding energized by our shared commitments.
The 10 from last year and the 10 from this year, you traveled the length and breadth, but especially the kibbutzes that were under attack on October 7th. What did the fellows who were there from last year, in other words, they've been there throughout the length of this war, what did they have to say about going to the kibbutzim? Were they curious? Had they been there already?
None of our fellows had been to this kibbutz. We do this trip every other year. So for every member of the fellowship, this is the first time together in Israel. And it's been fairly difficult for anybody to get to the kibbutzim. It's only fairly recently in Israel that members of kibbutzim have returned. Remember, these kibbutzes, as you know, are right on the border with Gaza. So it was a tremendously moving experience, as we spoke with a woman named Chen Cutler, who told us her story, what happened on her kibbutz on the day that in Israel they call the Black Sabbath, the cursed day. She hosted us on her porch. And as she began to speak, I mentioned this in Sunday's column, we began to hear explosions. Fortunately, we had an experienced guide with us, and he listened carefully. He'd just come back from 5 months on the Northern Front, and with a smile said, "Don't worry, that's outgoing fire you're hearing, not incoming." He could tell the difference.
This is at Kfar Aza. That's the kibbutz. Yes.
Exactly right, yes.
We need to do some geography, Peter, for people who've never had the privilege of visiting. How close is Kfar Aza to what was the wire of Gaza itself? How close are these two?
Well, they are next to one another. The fields of Kfar Aza border on the Gaza Strip. The residential area of the kibbutz is no more than about 2 kilometers, a little over a mile. In other words, from the back fence of the residential area of the kibbutz, you can walk to the Gaza Strip in 15 minutes. And by motorcycle or by paraglider or by pickup truck, the modes of transportation used by the terrorists on October 7th, it's just a few minutes from the Gaza border inside the kibbutz.
I wanted to establish that because we're talking about people who were living there with no particular reason to believe they were going to be attacked. No understanding of mayhem that was at hand. They understood that their mission was to raise vegetables, to raise their families, and to live in harmony. Is that correct, Peter?
That's entirely correct, yes.
They were not in a military mode, so we're talking about something you can walk to. Now, back to what you learned, what you and the fellows learned at Kfar Aza, and also
yes.
at Kibbutz Be'eri, is that how you say that?
Be'eri, yes, Be'eri. Yes, with a slight hesitation.
What you learned from those two kibbutzes?
Yes, well, they've never suffered an invasion like this. They know they live in a dangerous area, and for 2 decades now, going on 20 years really, they have been targeted by Hamas for rocket fire. You know, their kibbutzim are now protected by Israel's great Iron Dome anti-rocket defense system. They're too close, and the trajectory of the rockets that fly from Gaza into these kibbutzim is too low. So they know that they live in a dangerous area, but it's true. No one ever dreamed, and it seems even that Israeli security forces dreamed that thousands of jihadists one day would break down the fence and commit civilian massacres. Now, each of the kibbutzim had internal security forces, but as Chen Cutler told us with great sadness on her own kibbutz, the terrorists had maps of the kibbutz, so they went directly to, it turns out, her house, clambered atop the roof, and from the rooftop, they were able to look down on the kibbutz's armory, and so to shoot at almost point-blank range kibbutzniks who were running to the armory to grab their weapons to defend the kibbutz.
You have told me stories about another kibbutz, I believe, that fought off the attackers. My understanding now is we're still putting together people's stories. Is it becoming more coherent to you, Peter, because you have personal experience there before and after the crisis, of why and how it happened? Do you have are you putting the chronology together? Or are there still missing pieces of the puzzle?
There are for sure still missing pieces, but we are learning more and more about what was a very serious intelligence, military, and political strategic failure on the part of Israel. Just a few points initially. Israel's border defense depends on three elements. First, advanced intelligence. They need to know what's going to happen. This was a letdown. They did not have good intelligence in advance of the surprise attack on the morning of October 7th. Second, it became clear on that morning that the fence was really designed to keep out individuals and small groups of terrorists. It was never designed to prevent thousands of marauders from entering at the same time, and it didn't prevent them. And third, there were too few troops stationed on the border with Gaza. That's the last line of defense if intelligence fails and the fence fails, if they both did. There were too few troops, and what troops were there were not prepared. They were in their beds. They were sleeping at 6:30 in the morning. So there are a cascading series of failures. But we have to say the biggest failure was the broad conception, and this was signed off on by Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, that Hamas was changing, that with the $30 million or so of cash in suitcases, courtesy of the Qatari government, which was brought in each month, Hamas would be slowly turning to economic well-being of the Gaza Strip and paying less attention to its proclaimed mission, which is to kill Jews and destroy Israel. That conception was refuted in ghastly fashion on the morning of October 7th.
Kfar Aza, which is Ken Kotler's kibbutz,
yes.
62 dead, 19 abducted, 5 are still hostages. What is the opinion of the hostages right now at the kibbutz and the other kibbutzes? Do they believe they're still with us or what? What is it? Do people not think about it? I don't know how it's interpreted.
Yes, we did not press Chen on this, but I can tell you from conversations with serious security officials that they fear that of the, I think it's 134 hostages who have not been returned, that somewhere between a third of them and maybe as many as a half of them may no longer be alive.
And we don't know about the five from this kibbutz. Now, in general, we're talking about people going back to the kibbutz, rebuilding the houses, whitewashing over the burn marks. What does it look like now, Peter?
On Faraza, it still looks awful. The initial ring of houses that were attacked were actually the small houses of young people ages 18 to 26, just out of high school or entering the army or given their old apartment. They're still blacked and scarred and in disarray from the jihadists. But slowly, slowly, the kibbutzes are rebuilding, just as we were there, which was almost 5 months to the day of the terrible assault on Israel. Members are beginning to trickle back. The decision to return is especially difficult for parents of young children. But I do know parents of young children who have made the decision to return to the kibbutz.
Tel Aviv. The understanding from reading reports is that Israeli society has, in some fashion, all of a sudden discovered a common purpose. Is that accurate or is that too editorial?
It is indeed accurate. The old enmities and angers and resentments, which were so manifest between January 4th, 2023 and October 6th, provoked by the controversy over judicial reform, they have not dissipated. They've not gone away, but they have been sidelined. When the history of civil society in the Western world is written, an entire chapter will be devoted to how civil society in Israel has responded. In the first place, 350,000 reservists in a country of 9 million. This would be like 10 million in the United States being called up within 5 days, people just rushing to serve. The army couldn't feed 350,000 additional soldiers in 5 days. Restaurants in Tel Aviv turned themselves into kitchens for the IDF, for the Israel Defense Forces. Lawyers and doctors and business executives volunteered to work in these kitchens to provide meals. Israelis have had to, from Tel Aviv and elsewhere, have been volunteering to pick crops in the fields of both the north and the south, partly because the people who work the farms and the moshavs, the kibbutzim, are in reserve duty, partly because foreign workers have left the country. Various civil society organizations have risen to the occasion to provide health care and education for the nearly 200,000 Israelis that were initially displaced, 100,000 or so in the south and 100,000 in the north along the Lebanon border. So yes, it's been extraordinary unity, but some of this already you can see beginning to dissipate.
Peter Berkowitz of the Hoover Institution writing at Real Clear Politics about his recent visit, 10-day visit to Israel with the fellows. We're going to turn to an article that Peter published while he was there about the new anti-Semitism. That's a title given it by Noah Feldman writing in Time magazine. Where does it come from? What's driving it? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisiscle.com/podcast.